Thank you for the good song. I want to share a few thoughts with you and principles, hopefully being a help to you out of Proverbs chapter 3 this evening. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Now, the passage is going to be familiar to you, I'm sure, as we read it. And I think you'll look at it and go, well, I've heard this probably preached on, read, devotions on, different things. But I think a lot of times what we miss in the Word of God, when God makes a promise to us, we miss the prerequisite before God will deliver on the promise. And so in Proverbs, you know that much of Proverbs is Solomon writing to his son, trying to give him principles to live by. And I'd say this, I've heard people say that if you'll read through a chapter of Proverbs every day, of course there's 31 chapters in Proverbs, that means you would get through the book of Proverbs in a month. And if you read nothing but Proverbs, one chapter a day, every day for a month, and then did it the next month, did it 12 times a year, I'll tell you what, you'd be wise, right? And I'd say that probably if we did that, we'd not have near the mess that we have in our world today. We'd not have near the agony that we have, not near the... I wish I would have thought of this. Maybe someone had brought it to my attention as a young person, but I wish I would have taken up that early on to read through one proverb a day. And I think a lot of the heartache and scars that I faced in life, many of you, we would not have faced them. And so in Proverbs chapter 3, even in verse 1, Solomon writes this, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandment." Go all the way down to verse number 5, and you've heard this verse, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding." Now, verse 6 starts out this way, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." So, here he's given us a principle from the Word of God that each one of you young people that have just really accomplished a great feat in your life, whether it be kindergarten graduation, I'm surprised I graduated kindergarten. You know, wouldn't it be interesting if you could go back? You know, you always hear the saying, if I'd known then what I know now. Well, I did not like nap time in kindergarten. It always came after lunch. Now if I could go back, I would eat my lunch. Then you didn't even have, you know, now they've got these, I guess they've got these fancy mats that they lay on. We had a towel. You brought a nap towel. And I think I would have just laid at my towel, ate my lunch, and just fell off to sleep if I could go back and do it now, right? I rather enjoy naps, but then I did not. So I would say that even kindergarten is a great accomplishment. And then, of course, high school is a great accomplishment. And then college is even a greater accomplishment. And so each of us has a path we'll follow the rest of our lives. And so you look today, and you young people, and you say, well, I'm done. Well, no, you're just starting, right? You've completed one part of your life, but you're starting another part. And parents, may I say this, you're not done either. Whatever stage of life you're in, you're not done with your life. You're just starting today a whole other stage of life. And so no matter what your past looks like, your journey starts now. A lot of times we look at our past, and I always say this, the windshield is much bigger than the rearview mirror. We ought to spend more time looking ahead than we do looking behind, right? And so what happens is, for some of you at this stage of life, because you've worked hard, you've accomplished something great in graduation, and you should be congratulated for that. You should celebrate that. But you know what? In just a few months, some of you will be going to college, and some of you will be going to the first grade. And I think Heather said she was going to continue with her schooling as well. And so this accomplishment, though you can celebrate it right now, it's short-lived, because then you have to move on with life. And may I say, not just to the graduates, but to all of us, that's the way it is. Listen, in just a few hours, today is going to be done, and tomorrow starts. And so whatever your life has been up till this point, tomorrow starts a brand new day. And so I want to give you just a short message on this thought. Stay on the path. Just stay on the path, right? The path that God directs and the path that God guides in your life, just stay on it. You know, a lot of times we want to try new things, and we want to experiment with things and say, well, you know, as a young person, I grew up in a Christian home and couldn't do things that other kids could do and couldn't participate in activities others could participate. And so I think now I'm going to give all that a try. May I say this? Your parents have tried to protect you and train you and keep you from the harm of the world. And don't mess your life up because you're at a new stage of life. And if you're here tonight, and again, you're an adult, you look and say, well, for some of you, you look back at your past with regret. I'm glad that we serve a God of new beginnings. Your past doesn't have to define your future. Amen. And so God's Word gives us specific instructions on how to stay on the path going forward. And it's hard. It's not easy. You know, many of us, as we get on in life, we look at these young people and say, man, I wish I could do it all over again. I would take a different direction. Well, may I say this? Our parents and grandparents said the same thing, right? Man, I wish I could have gone back and done this different. Well, we can't go back and do it different, but we can do things different going forward. And so here in these two scriptures, verse 5 and 6, I see four principles I want to share with you that will help us stay on the path. Number one is we have to realize that you are a precious possession. The Bible said in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And we're looking at a picture of salvation. Matter of fact, in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20 says this, for ye are bought with a price, therefore, now remember this, you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And I was thinking about this as a Christian. If you're here today and you're a Christian and you talk about your life and your goals and your dreams, they're not yours at all. My friend, you're not yours. You are His. And I thought of this illustration as I was getting ready for the message. This is my watch. I bought it. It's mine to do with whatever I want to. As a matter of fact, if I wanted to, I could take a hammer to it, I could throw it in the garbage, I could give it to someone, but the fact is, it is mine, and I paid for it, and it's precious. And so what I like to do is I like to take care of it. I make sure the battery's changed, I make sure it's clean. I've got a gun safe that has a drawer in it that I every time I take it off, I put it in there so it doesn't get stolen. And so what I'm saying is, when you think of yourself as the possession of the Lord Jesus Christ, He can do with you whatever He wants to do. He can send you wherever He wants to go. And so it's not your path that you should be looking for. It is the path that the Lord wants in your life. And that's not just for these young people that are graduating. That is for each and every one of us. And so when I think of this, that I'm a precious possession, I think of redemption, that God purchased me and we're bought with a price and He paid my sin debt. And so therefore, I owe Him my life. And if you're here today, young person, and you're graduating and you're a Christian, you have to realize that you owe Him a lot. Mom and Dad, you owe Him a lot. Mama and Papa, you owe Him a lot because He died for you and died in your place. And we are His possession. Also seeing that precious possession, a recognition. The Bible said in verse number 5, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Isn't it interesting that the more education that we get, the more we think we know? Sometimes you don't need to have an education. You talk to people and they're the smartest person they know. Right? They know everything. Any topic, any subject, they're the expert on, right? And so the Bible says here that we're to not lean under our own understanding. You don't have to raise your hand, but how many would symbolically raise your hand and say, I've made a lot of mistakes I thought were right. And I did it because I thought it was right. I didn't seek counsel. I didn't pray about it. And I made mistakes after mistake. You know why? Because we didn't seek the One who knows it all. And so as His possession, right, as I used the watch, I want to keep it clean and work in order. And I don't want it scratched up. And I don't want it damaged. Well, guess what? If we're His possession, we ought to recognize that He wants what's best for us. Let me help you something, young people, moms and dads, and all of us in here. You don't know what's best for you. We think we do, but we don't know what's best for us, but God does. And so that recognition, our vision is limited, and the Bible said if we'll not lean under our own understanding, but we'll take it to God, if we'll seek God, then we'll have a prosperous life. And so our lives are His. It is not only our redemption and our recognition, it is our responsibility as His possession. It is my responsibility to honor God. You've worked hard, but now the rest of your life God has given you to honor Him. Moms and dads, the rest of your life God has given you to honor Him. Every one of us here, God has given us breath and life to honor Him. It's not about us. We preached this morning. It's not about us and what we want. It's about what He wants, right? If we're going to be a mature Christian, we have to do it His way, and we have to work for the Lord and work for the kingdom. And so, therefore, we're to bring glory to Him, not to ourselves. Our lives are His. You know what? My life's not my own. It really isn't. And sometimes we think that we try to insert God in our life where we want Him. But, friend, if we're really bought with a price, from the time I wake up to the time I go to bed, every single day of my life is His to do with what He wants to. Young person, if you'll give your life to the Lord, many of you have already trusted Christ, but if you'll fully give your life to the Lord, He'll do a lot better job with it than we can. So we're to realize that we're a precious possession. Number two, we're to recognize the prerequisite of preeminence. Notice what verse 6 says. When I say preeminence, all that simply means is putting God first. Everything else revolves around Him. So the prerequisite to get the blessing of God, the Bible said in here in verse number 6, is in all thy ways acknowledge Him. Now what we like to do is acknowledge Him in some of our ways. We like to insert Him in some decisions. Sometimes they're big decisions. But we like to pick and choose where we acknowledge God. We like to acknowledge Him in church. Sometimes we acknowledge Him when we pray. Sometimes you hear people say, they'll give an acceptance speech and they'll say, I want to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We'll go, oh, that's the greatest thing in the world. He must be a Christian. And maybe He is, and we pray that He is, right? But the Bible doesn't say just to acknowledge Him in the big things. The Bible says, in all thy ways. Every single way. So in that recognition that there is a prerequisite of putting God first before God will give us the blessing or the promise He made, we have to look at the totality of it, right? In all. Now, I'm thinking you guys have graduated, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but can you tell me what the word all means? Everything, right? See, they got it. They graduated. Everything. All means everything. Or it means all, right? In the Greek, all means all, right? Everything. So God's not saying, I want you to acknowledge me in some things. He's saying, I want you to acknowledge me in everything. The totality of it is every decision you make has to be centered around the Lord. Everything about us, not just decisions, but the Bible says here, in all thy ways, so in all my life, in my walk, in my talk, in where I go, what I do, what I think, my career, right? If you've not prayed about the career God wants you to have, listen, you haven't gone too far. You should pray about it. You say, oh, preach, that's good for them. What about us? Same for you. I said this morning, if you can't honor God in your career, you need to find a new one. If you can't honor God in your activities, find new activities. See, we got to honor God in all that we do. And so the totality of it is everything. We're to recognize Him, acknowledge Him in everything that we do. But then it also speaks of our trust. Because in all thy ways acknowledge Him tells me this. If in my mind I think I know what's best for me, if I'm acknowledging Him, or really the word acknowledge means to seek. If I'm seeking His wisdom, what I'm doing is trusting that He knows better for me than I know for myself. That takes faith. Because in my mind I'm thinking, well, I know what I want, I know what my heart tells me. Intellectually I think I know what's best for me. I know what's best for me more than you do, and maybe at your age even more than my parents do, right? But the fact is, you don't know more than God does what's best for you. And that takes trust, because guess what? His path is not always plain to us. It's not always clear. So It takes an element of trust and faith. We're to ask him what he wants, not what I want. Brother Eddie, a lot of times we look at these young people and say, yeah, you ought to give your life to God. But I'd say this, at 70 years old or 50 or 60 or whatever it is, we're no different than they are. God wants my life right now, right? So whatever path he chooses for me and whatever path he chooses for you, it's up to him, not me. It's up to him and not you. And so you are his, and we're to ask him what he wants. It's like this. If you work for somebody, I was telling a preacher the other day, we had lunch, and I said, you know, there's a side of me, to be honest, Brother Paul, I wouldn't mind being somebody's associate pastor. He kind of looked at me. I said, I just go into work every day. He said, what you want today, boss? What you need me to do? Then we go wash the vans. Gotcha, right? Because once you've been a pastor, you understand what it's like and all the headaches and heartaches. And so you can be very compassionate. Well, maybe in your job, you've got a supervisor, boss, and you have had to lead people before, and it ought to make you the best employee there because you understand what it takes, right? And so sometimes we miss that. We have to understand that if I work for somebody, all I really need to do is do what they tell me to do. If I work for a guy and he tells me, well, today your job is to do X, Y, Z, you know what? That's pretty easy. As long as I accomplish X, Y, Z, I've done what he's asked me to do. I'm a good employee. Now, if I go in there and say, well, I just don't like X, Y, Z, I'm going to do what I want to do, I'm not a good employee. Well, God's no different. If he has the preeminence in my life, I simply say, Lord, what do you want me to do today? Now, if I say, Lord, I don't like what you've told me to do. I don't like the path you've chosen for me, and I want to do it my way. I'm not a good employee, am I? So I have to trust him with my life. I have to trust him with my dreams. I have to trust him with my heart. That's what each one of us has to do. He's going to have the preeminence in my life. There has to be an element of trust that in verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him. I have to acknowledge him. I have to trust him. I have to seek his wisdom and say, God, whatever it is that you want, I know it's best for me. Then, as I meet that prerequisite, because notice what the Bible said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. So there's part of the prerequisite, right? I got to trust him with all my heart. I can't lean on what I think because what I think is wrong sometimes, most of the time. And then verse 6 says, in all thy ways, in everything I have to recognize him, acknowledge him. Then I remember the power of his promise in verse 6, and he shall. Didn't say might. Didn't say possibly. There's his promise. He shall. You see the surety of it. When God has obligated himself to say, if you do these things, here's what I'll do. Now listen, God's not obligated to do it until you do your part. The promises of God are conditional. When God says, I'll do this, and he puts there, when you do this, don't claim this verse. Listen to me, church. Don't claim this verse unless you're willing to do what he's asked you to do. Because I see it, people say, well, I love this verse. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Did you really do that, or did you give me trust half? Did you trust three quarters? Did you trust 90%? Because all means every part of it. If we don't do that, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. How many times have we prayed and tried to convince God of what we want? There's prerequisite number two. Number three. All thy ways acknowledge him. Well, I seek the counsel of God in big decisions. He wants you to seek him in all decisions. When we do that, then number three, we see the power of his promise. He shall. We see the surety of it. He didn't say maybe. If we do these things, he will do it. He is obligating himself when we do what he tells us to do. And then you see the simplicity of it. You know what we do sometimes with the will of God? But Jimmy, we make it so complicated. We make it complicated. When I get to work, right, You work for somebody, they get, here's your list of, every day I have a to-do list. Why? Because I want to make it simple. Check, done. Check, done. Check, done. I know how good I'm doing for the day. Why? Because I've got a list. Here's 5 things I need to get done, 10 things, whatever it is. Every one I check off, I'm making progress, right? It's not difficult. The difficulty is making myself do it. The difficulty is not the task. And so the Lord, same way, the simplicity of it is this. If I do this, God said he'll do this. It's not difficult to comprehend. It is difficult to do. Simple and easy are not the same thing. Math is simple. This, and this adds up to this. Not easy. At least it wasn't for me. Then you throw in Common Core and nobody knows what in the world that is, right? That's why our economy's bad. No, I'm kidding. So simplicity of God saying, if you do this, I'll do this. That's pretty easy. But you don't understand, preacher. You don't understand my life, how complicated it is. Listen to me, church. You know who complicates your life? You. Right? You do. You ever get up and watch birds? My wife doesn't like birds because my alarm in the morning is birds chirping. So when she hears birds chirping at 4 o'clock in the morning, she's not happy about birds. You ever watch a bird? Their life's not complicated. They'll fly off a power line. You'll see them in the front yard. They're doing this. You know what they're doing? Finding food. Then they'll fly away, trying to stay away from predators. Pretty simple life, right? They don't have to pay power bills. They don't have to pay for gas. They're not worried about all that stuff. Their life is sleep, sit on a power line, eat worms, stay away from predators, and do stuff on your car. I mean, that's their whole life, right? So how much more difficult do we make life? Well, preacher, if that's all I had to do, it'd be easy. We complicate our own lives. I didn't say it's easy. Life's not easy. But it's not complicated. Follow God. So we remember the power of his promise. And then finally, we receive his profitable prosperity. Look at verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall do what? Direct thy paths. Well, what does that mean to me? It means he gives me direction. Everybody's looking for direction. Self-help, right? Reading books. Again, I'm not against reading books. I read a lot of podcasts. Everybody's wanting this new thing. But you know what they're wanting? The direction. Here's what they're looking for. God has put a hole in you that only he can fill. He's the only one that can fill that hole. And the world's offering all this stuff to put in that hole. Boom, 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 boom. Alcohol, drugs, illicit relationships, you know, whatever, whatever, whatever. We keep putting it in. And we're going, oh, I'm just not happy. I'm just not happy. I'm just not content. I'm just not, wah, wah, you fill in the blank, right? Depressed, anxious, whatever it is. And a lot of it, Brother Matt, is because we're trying to put stuff in the hole that won't fill the hole. And then we'll say, well, if I just had more, right? If I just had more money, if I just had more cars, if I had a better car, better house, better life, better job, better, 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 better. Boom, 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 boom. God said, no, I'm the only one who can fill the hole. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Living for God and being content is a great gain. Simple, but not always easy. Because we've got to block out all that the world's throwing at us. Young people, it's harder for you. Listen, I remember graduating, we had some stuff, we had temptations, we had all, we don't have nothing like they got, folks. They They got junk all the time hitting them, right? You can't go down the road and not see it. But the fact is, still simple, just not easy. And so that prosperity he's speaking of is direction in our life. Listen, I don't know about you, but if I could go back, right, and say, God, if you'll just point me in the direction you want me to go, if I had wisdom, I'd say, God, point me in the direction you want me to go. I'd just go where he told me to go. Now, how many do this? You can raise your hand here. I'll raise my hand. Your GPS tells you to go a certain way, right? And you look at that thing, you go, I ain't going that way. I'm not going that way because I know a better way, right? And sometimes that's true. Most of the time, it's our pride, right? And it ends up taking you longer to get where you're going to go. Because I want to do it my way instead of the GPS way. Well, GPSs can mess up. God won't mess up. And so, he wants to direct our path. He wants us to be successful. And success is when we reach our destination to hear the Lord say, good, well done, good and faithful servant. So young people, I'd say this. Acknowledge him in all your ways. Just go ahead and learn to do that now. Mom and dad, acknowledge him in all your ways. Grandma and grandpa, acknowledge him. Every person in here, acknowledge him in all your ways. Right? Don't lean under your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Then, he said, he shall. We meet those prerequisites, those requirements. And God said, then I'll do this for you. He shall direct your paths. Let's stand together. Let's bow our heads. Miss Susan's going to come to the piano. As our graduates are getting ready, maybe the Lord spoke to your heart tonight. Maybe you need to come to the altar. Maybe tonight, if you were honest, you'd say that there's never been a time I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. You want to come. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the accomplishment of each one of these graduates and their families. And Lord, I just pray again that they would turn their lives over to you, honor you with all the things that they do. Thank you for this church and God, the way you blessed it, continue to use it. We'll thank you and praise you and give you all the glory. In Jesus' precious name we pray.